Hey, good morning, church. Morning. It's good to be here today. Real quick, I just want to reemphasize what Autumn shared and what the missionary shared this morning. During the month of December, we have the opportunity to pray for our missionaries and to ask God how he wants each of us as individuals and as a church to be a part of that. And so I just want to encourage us this morning, let's be a part of the work that God is doing throughout the world. Amen, church, throughout other nations. Let's be a part of supporting our missionaries around the world and pray, church, about giving above and beyond your tithes and offerings to help support sharing the gospel throughout the world. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to Luke chapter 2. We're in week 2 of our Christmas series called The Songs of Christmas. Each Sunday, we're looking to God's word to see biblical truth and the biblical foundations that we find in Christmas songs that we are most likely familiar with. And then once we talk about the truth from God's word, then we're going to sing that song together. And the hope is that we'll be reminded of why we celebrate Christmas, what we're singing about. When we sing these songs, let's sing them with a fresh understanding of who Jesus is and why he came and what that means for us. Last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 1 and 2 to see the biblical truth found in the song, O Come Emmanuel. We saw that Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And he's the reason that we can rejoice in a dark and weary world. I love that. Think about that song. God came to be with us, church. We can rejoice even in a weary world, because Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, came to save us from our sins. We can rejoice because Emmanuel came to bring wisdom into our unwise world. These are things we looked at last week. We can rejoice because Jesus came to unite the nations in Christ, and because Emmanuel, Jesus, came to make it possible to be at home with him for eternity. This morning, we're going to look at the biblical truth and the truth of Jesus' birth and who he was behind the very well-known song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, this was originally written in 1739 as a poem by John Wesley. And then later there was a few words that were changed. But in 1753, George Whitefield adapted this poem into the song that we sing today. And I want us to see that this song is based off the passage that we're looking at today out of Luke chapter 2, mainly verses 8 through 14. This is where this song comes from. And as we look at God's word together and think about the truth in this song, man, let's just be, again, re-energized and refocused on not only this song and that we just sing it, but we know the meaning behind it. So if you guys are able, would you guys stand? Let's read God's word together. You guys follow along as I read. Luke chapter 2, beginning, we're going to start in verse 7 and then read through verse 14. And we'll look at the rest of the passages as we go. Here's what God's word says. And she, speaking of the Virgin Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Let's pray, church. God, we stand here today. We are here to worship you. We're here to gather and encourage one another. We're here to serve one another, to serve you. We're here to be encouraged and energized as we go out into the world. We're here, God, to hear from your word today. God, I pray, Lord, you are glorified with everything that comes out of my lips today. And I pray, Lord, that your people would hear what you need them to hear, and that they would be changed, that we would be changed as we walk out of here because of you. And God, I pray, Lord, if someone here today or online does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, there's no better day than today to surrender their life to Christ. So God, we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The author starts this song by saying, "Hark." Hark is a pretty old word, so only a couple of you guys would have used this. I'm just kidding, right? But outside of the song, like, we really don't use this. Justin, I wasn't talking about you, man. You're good. But basically what the word hark means is means to listen, to pay attention, right? Meaning I need your attention because what I'm about to say is important. And so parents, when you go home this week, when you want your kids to listen, you just tell them, hey, hark, right? Listen up, kids. Teachers, same thing. Go to your classroom and see if it helps your kids listen up. It'll probably just confuse the heck out of them, right? Like, hark. But the writer is telling us, pay attention. Listen up. Don't miss this. And the words that come after that, they're important. These words are really written from the perspective of the shepherds, and they're telling us what they experienced, what they heard, what they saw. And we see all of this in Luke chapter 2. So leading up to verse 8, we see that Mary and Joseph, they're making their way to Bethlehem. And after a long journey, they're unable to find a place to stay. The city was packed with people for the census. They're all gathering, millions, probably over a million people there, ready to be there for the census. And so there was no room. And I know we kind of think about there was no room in the inn. And so we're thinking like a Best Western or a Hilton or something like that. But a lot of it was just homes that people would open up and they would rent out a spot on their floor for people to stay in. But baby Jesus was not going to wait, right? And so we see in verse 7 that Jesus is born. Jesus is born. He's wrapped tightly and he's placed in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough. He's surrounded, probably more like in a cave. I think we normally think about like a barn or something like that. It was probably more on the side of a cave. And so they had this horse trough, again, that was either made out of the side of the cave or they would have a wooden one like we see sometimes. But he's placed there. And it seems strange, church, how God would come to be with us. He's born amongst animals outside. He's laid in a manger instead of being born to royalty and placed in a comfy bed, instead of being wrapped in silk cloth. And then in verse 8, and instead of his birth announcement coming to kings and royalty or the upper class, the angels come and announce the greatest birth ever to some of the lowest in society, to the shepherds. Shepherds basically represented the lowest class in Jewish society. They were often considered the ultimate unskilled laborers. This job of a shepherd was often given to young people, to kids. And if your job remained that as an adult, you were considered to be a failure in life. Shepherds were considered so low and with no value that even if they were the only eyewitness to something, their testimony would not even be heard in court. Their words, their opinions were considered not worthy, not valid. But God, the highest and the greatest of all, chose the shepherds to receive the first announcement. And these shepherds are just out doing their job. They're out in the fields all by themselves, surrounded by complete darkness. And then in verse 9, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. I would say so. Amen, church, right? But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I'm here for a good reason. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you. This gift, this news is for all people, church. But it's even for the shepherds. And that's great news for us today. No matter where we find ourselves, no matter what you've done in life, no matter where you come from, no matter your place in society, Jesus came for you. Verse 11 says, for today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. We don't actually know if they were singing or not. So we can kind of put a check mark or a question mark next to that. Hark the herald angels sing. I think they were, right? I think it's safe to assume that, but we don't know that for sure. But one angel appears and he's making this announcement. And then an army of angels appear and they are praising God, church. They're praising and they're saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Men, me and mankind. And so in our song today, the shepherds are saying, listen up, I've got something to tell you. You don't want to miss us. Here's what just happened. The angels came praising God and they told us of the birth of Jesus. The shepherds find themselves, church, being the recipients of this good, great news. They are witnesses to the most amazing event in all of human history. And they hear these words, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I think the shepherds reacted as any normal person would. They freaked out. That's what it means in the Greek, right? It means that they wet their pants and they freaked out as they're standing. I don't know. I don't know if they wet their pants or not. I think it may be safe to assume they did. Okay. But they freaked out. And the angel says, do not be afraid. I just want you guys to know what I'm experiencing up here. My wife and my mother-in-law are giving me looks because I'm saying the shepherds wet their pants. So I just want you to know I'm feeling a little shame right now. I apologize. But church, think about this. Do not be afraid. Fear may be the most crippling of all human emotion. It can paralyze us. It can stop us in our tracks. But over 300 times in the Bible, it's almost like God really wants us to get this. Over 300 times in the Bible, you'll hear the words or the phrase, fear not or do not be afraid. And the angel says, don't be afraid because I'm not bringing you bad news. I'm bringing you good news. I'm bringing you good news of great joy. The shepherds would have liked the sound of that, church. They would have liked the sound of that. There weren't a lot of moments of great joy in their life. They're probably just like many in our world, lacking in joy. And the good news of great joy is this, church, for unto you, shepherds, drug addict, for unto you, person that's been in prison, for unto you, mother or father or president of the United States, are you with me, church? For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The good news for you is that Jesus is here. Emmanuel is here. God is here. The gospel is here. They've been waiting for this news. They knew it was coming. They needed this news and they've been waiting. They knew they needed a Savior. All they had to do was look in the mirror and see their life, and they have sin in their life. We just have to look in the mirror and we've got sin in our life, church. They needed a Savior and they knew it because of sin in their life. They were feeling the effects of sin in their life every single day. You and I, whether you believe it or not, have sin in our life. You and I come face to face with the effects and the consequences of sin every single day in our lives and in our world. And because of our sin, things are not as they should be. Things are broken. Because of their sin, because of your sin, because of my sin, our relationship with God was not as it should be. It was broken. It's severed. There's an eternal separation. Our relationship with God is severed. We're in this weary world. We're slaves to our sin. We're slaves to this world. We're slaves to the consequences. And so these shepherds knew they needed a rescuer. They needed a Savior. You and I are in need of a rescue, church. You and I are in need of a Savior, and the rescuer's name is Jesus. It's not money. It's not sex. It's not power. It's not fame. It's not a big home. It's not a full checking account. It's Jesus, church. Right? He is Christ the Lord, and he is here. They've been waiting to hear these words. I bet they were expecting to kind of get it a couple years down the road once the king heard, and then the upper class, and then others, and finally made its way out, but they heard it first. And we see in verse 13, the angels knew how big of a deal this was. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel. Can you imagine being the angel that got picked by God to make this announcement? Wow. And he's down there and he's making this announcement, and then suddenly a multitude of heavenly hosts. You know what that means? It means there's more angels from heaven than we can even count that are there in the sky worshiping God, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. We're going to come back to that at the end, but we get excited, church. We get excited about a lot of things. And we get excited about a lot of things that are a big deal for a little while. But everything we get excited about is pretty temporary, right? But let's learn from the angels in heaven. They've seen a lot of things. Let's give God the glory he is due. I love the picture we get here, church. Jesus didn't just come for the rich, for those who have a lot, or for those who are higher on the social ladder, or for those who seem very religious. He came for all. He came for the lonely. He came for the hurting. He came for the rejected. He came for those who have little or nothing. He came for the criminals. He came for those who society has decided have little value. Jesus shows by coming to these lowly, forgotten, and unvalued shepherds that he came for all. These shepherds might not have ever experienced anyone loving them except maybe the sheep. But here, the messenger, the angel from the Most High God, they come and they give the biggest I love you message they'll ever receive. And so Jesus shows that he came for all. He came for the rich. He came for the poor, for the haves, the have-nots, for those in prison, for those who are free. Christ Jesus came into our world to rescue us, to be our Savior. And when the shepherds get this message, church, I love this, they respond. How often do we open up the Word of God and the Bible clearly says, do this, don't do this. We hear from God and we're like, I'm just going to ponder on that for a little bit. I'm going to ask Facebook what they think I should do. I'm going to go and talk with someone. No, church, when we hear God speak into our lives, we should respond. And they respond. They didn't wait. They didn't just stay there. They didn't keep it to themselves. By the way, there's a saying out there in society that says, keep your faith to yourself. Jesus says that's a lie from hell. Keep you share your faith, church, right? So they didn't want to keep it to themselves. They wanted to go and see Jesus. They heard Jesus was born for them, and look what they did. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, church. They didn't wait around, right? They went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They heard, they went, and they found Jesus. And they see that what they were told was true, the promised one, the one they were waiting for, the promised one who came for them, who came for us, is here. Verse 17, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which they were told, which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds said, this is what we experienced. This is what we saw. This is what we heard. We've been waiting for this. And they marveled at who Jesus was. They marveled at what he would accomplish. They marveled that he was the promised Savior and their Lord. And Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. What a night. And a night that we still celebrate today. Often we celebrate by being generous. We celebrate by buying gifts for someone we love or for someone in need. And church, think about this for a minute. When we give a present, we purchase that gift. We wrap the gift with a person in mind. We even place their name on that gift. And whenever that person receives that gift or they go up to the Christmas tree, they know which gift is for them because it has their name on it. Look what the angel says to the shepherds. For unto you. If you're hearing this message, if you're reading this passage, this gift is for you. Sometimes we got to pause and put our name in there, don't we? For unto Jeff, for unto Tucker, for unto Dawn is born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This gift is for you personally. You may have a lot in this world, or you may be looked at in society of having really no value at all. People may look up to you. They may listen to what you have to say, or people may look down to you thinking that what you have to say is not important. You may even have that feeling this morning, a feeling that you are worthless or that you don't have value. Anybody ever feel that way? Right, church? I mean, that's our world kind of makes us feel that way. But I want to tell you something this morning. Through this example in the birth announcement of the greatest gift ever given, the biggest birth announcement in human history, the Savior of the world. He was born unto the lowly, the rejected shepherds, and he was born unto you. No matter what society says about you, good or bad, he was born unto you. No matter how others look at you, no matter what you think about you, you need to know that Jesus places a high value on you. He came for you. He created you in his image to have a relationship with him. He pursued you and he came to save you. And when our song says, joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. Let's sing with the angels, church. Amen. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. We're called to rejoice, church. The angels are rejoicing because the one who was promised to them hundreds of years prior to that moment, the one that was promised to come and be with them, the one that was promised to come and make things right between them and God, the one that was promised to bring peace, he is here. Church, this song is telling us what Christmas is about. I think all three verses tell us something different, and it all comes from the Word of God. What is Christmas about? We're going to look at three things. The first thing of this song is telling us in the very first verse, and also in Luke chapter 2, it's telling us this, that Christmas is about a promise God made. Christmas is about a promise God made, and we can even add to that, a promise God kept. You see, Jesus' birth was not the first mention of the Savior. In fact, the first mention of God coming to rescue us through a Savior was actually all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. It's the word euangelion. It's the first mention of the gospel. When sin entered into the world, back when Adam and Eve ate of what they shouldn't have and then went and hid from God, guess what happened? God came to them. He was looking for them, right? And he talks with them. And then God confronts them and he confronts the devil. He confronts the devil head on. Adam and Eve, church, just like you and I, they were responsible for their sin. But the devil's the one that lied to them and deceived them, right? And still today, we have the warning. The devil's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Not hurt, not trick, but kill. The devil's the one that lied and deceived them. And here's what God says all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, right after sin came in. The Lord God said to the serpent, said to the devil, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Don't miss this. He shall bruise you on the head, and you're going to bruise him on the heel. God is saying to Satan, you're going to cause a lot of pain and suffering. But her seed, pointing all the way up to when Jesus is going to be born, Jesus is going to strike a crushing blow and crush your head, Satan. That's known as the first gospel. God is talking about Jesus promises a victory over Satan on the cross and with an empty grave. Amen, church. Christmas is about Easter. Easter is about Christmas. I mean, they just go together. You can't have one without the other. Jesus didn't come just to be a baby in the manger. He came to die on the cross and have victory over sin and death and hell. Are you with me, church? Right? That's the first news. Right after sin into the world, God is saying, I know you've sinned, people, right? I know that because of your sin, there's a broken relationship. There are eternal consequences because of your sin, but I've got a plan and it's going to crush Satan. God gives us, he gives you and me a promise. We continue to see that promise throughout Scripture, but we see it again in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with a child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. 700 years prior to Jesus being born, he said a virgin is going to give birth to a child, and they're going to name him God with us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born unto us, right? A son will be given. The government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. I can't wait to walk through that in a couple weeks. And then if we're to read all of Isaiah chapter 53, church, it talks of the promised one, the promised rescuer, passage after passage in the Old Testament, right? It points us to and it tells us of the promised one, the Messiah, who is going to come and save us, church. Right? I mean, when Jesus came and was born and died, he hundreds of prophecies were fulfilled. He's been talking about this for years. Christmas is about a promise that God made to us and a promise that he kept. The angels come to the shepherds to tell them that God's promise is being fulfilled. The one you were promised, the one you've been waiting for, Jesus is here. He's been born. He's here to be with you and to save you. And so when we sing this song, remember, we sing about a God who keeps his promises to us. I think we need that today. We have politicians. We have people that we love. We have celebrities. We have bosses. We have people that promise us stuff all the time. And because we're people, we don't always keep those promises. God always keeps his promises. And so no matter what you're going through, be reminded this, that God is faithful. God is faithful. He keeps his word, church. When we look at the second part of the song, we sing more about what Christmas is about. When we think about Christmas, I responded to something on social media, like, what's your favorite part about Christmas? And you hear a lot of things. We get time off, get to spend time with family. I get to eat more than I should, right? You got parties, right? Events, even gift giving, and even spending time with family. All of those things are good, but they're not the reason for Christmas. Christmas can be made about all sorts of things, but first and foremost, Christmas is about a promise-keeping God, and it's about Jesus who came. We looked at Matthew 1 last week that Jesus is not just some dude that was born, right? He's Emmanuel. He is Creator God. He is the Almighty. He's the one that sustains everything. He created everything. He's the one that came to be with us. The all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty, all-present God is the one that was born in that manger. And so because of who he is, we make much of him. Verse 2 of the song helps us out with this. It says, Christ by highest heaven. He's adored by them, church. Christ the everlasting Lord. It talks about his miraculous birth. It talks about how he was born of a virgin. It tells us that he is God. We talked about this last week. He's not a God, or he's not just a God, right? He's not someone that worked their way up to godhood. He is God in the flesh. He humbled himself to come and to be with us, to serve and to give us what we could not get on our own. Church, don't just look at a cute baby in a manger and think that's what Christmas is about. We must recognize. We must understand and we must rejoice and sing about and worship Jesus for who he is. I want to read a passage to you. This is just free. This wasn't even in my notes. Listen to this, church. Colossians chapter 1, for he, Jesus, he is the image of the, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. They're sustained through him. He is also the head of the body, the church. He's in charge right now, church, right? And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. That is who Jesus is. That is what Christmas is about. It's amazing that he came to be Jesus in the manger, the baby in the manger, but he is God with us, church. I'm going to tell you what, my pastor said this growing up, I say it every now and then, if that doesn't get you fired, then your wood is wet and you need to get new wood, church. Amen? Come on. Christmas is about Jesus who came, and so you know what we must do? We must adore him. We must worship him. We must trust him. We must follow him. We must tell others about Jesus. That is what Christmas is about. I'd say we could close up and go home after that, but we're not. We still got half of it to go, all right? Maybe not. And then, we've already talked about this last week, but we must know that Christmas is about people being saved. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3:23, for all have sinned. So let's get good about putting our names in scripture. For Charles, for Jeff, for Justin have sinned. All of us have sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us a really scary truth. It says, for the wages of your sin is death. Physical death, eternal death, spiritual death, separated from God in a real place called hell for eternity. When you go to work and you clock in and clock out, this is what you deserve, a paycheck. Because of our sin, that's what we deserve. But at Christmas, we can still sing and rejoice, and we can thank God that there's more to that story. There's more to this verse. There's more for you and me, because of the rest of the verse says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Don't replace that with anything else. It's through Jesus alone. Jesus didn't come so that we could demand figgy pudding from the people we're singing to. Jesus didn't come so that we could decorate our houses. He didn't come so that we could fight for the TV on Black Friday. He didn't come so that we could even gather with families. He came to offer you a free gift so that you could have eternal life. And church, eternal life, salvation doesn't come through being good. It's not through, it's not about a religion, church. In fact, it isn't even through religion. It isn't even through being good. It's through Jesus alone, church. Through Jesus, that's where we become more, I guess, religious, right? Christ followers. That's where we become good because of Jesus. The Bible is clear when Jesus says, I'm it. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father, no one goes to heaven, no one is saved but by me, Jesus says. You want to be saved, you want to know the truth, you want the way, you want eternal life, it's through Jesus. I'm sorry if someone else lied to you and said it was through saying this or doing this or checking this off. It's through Jesus and placing our faith in him alone. And I love this amazing statement of his love for us. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates, he proves his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the baby laying there in a manger, knew he was going to give his life for us. And so it's not about religion or doing better or trying harder, because if you think about it, think about this, church. Religion says, try harder, be better. But Jesus' message says, you couldn't try hard enough or be good enough. I did it for you. I did what you could not do. Receive this as a gift. Church, Christmas is about being saved from your sins. Jesus came to save us from our sins so that we could reconcile that relationship with God. In the third part of our song, we read that he is the Prince of Peace. We sing that he brings righteousness, right? We can be right with God. We sing that Jesus brings with him light and life and healing. It says that he was born so that no more men may die, church. Meaning spiritually and eternally, it says that Jesus was born to give us second birth. Right, to be born again, to have a new life in Christ, meaning that when we trust in Jesus and he saves us, we have a new life in him. He doesn't just like spit clean us, like, you know, like moms do, like lick your thumb and clean up your kid's face. No, he gives you a new life, church. That's what we're singing about. Jesus who came to save us from our sins. That's what that whole verse 3 is about. And it's really simple, church. All we need to do, well, I say it's simple, but it's hard at the same time because we got to humble ourselves and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I can't rescue myself. I need you. Trust in Jesus, call on him to save you. My question for you today is, God doesn't care how religious you are. He doesn't care how good you are. He cares if you know him or not. Will you believe in Jesus today? Or will Christmas just continue to be another holiday? Christmas is about a gift. The gift is Jesus who came for you to be with you, to save you. Your name is on that gift. If you've received it, praise God. If not, will you receive his gift today? If you've already know Jesus, if you're saved, you've trusted in him, church, we have so much to celebrate, and this song helps us do that. I want to look at two more things before we close. There's a phrase that's repeated in this song multiple times. It says, hark, listen up. The herald angels are singing, they're proclaiming, glory to the newborn king. In verse 14, we see all the angels are praising God. They're declaring two things. At Christmas, there's two declarations being made by these angels. And they're life-changing for us. And the first one comes from, or they both come from verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among with men with whom he is pleased. The first declaration the angels make, the first declaration that should change our life, is that God is worthy of all your glory. He's worthy of all your glory. I'm going to step on some toes. I stepped on my toes as I was writing this. Amen. You with me, church? Like, it's going to be good. It's going to be good for us. These angels from heaven were declaring to the shepherds, they're declaring to all people, including everyone here today, they're telling us that God is worthy of more than just your religious motion. He's worthy than more than you just showing up on Sunday. He is worthy of more than our just casual devotion to him. He is worthy, church. He is more worthy of anything else. He is worthy than more than just part of your life. God is worthy of your entire life. The Bible says things like, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. The mundane things, the things that we just do out of habit, are not to be done for any other reason but to give God glory. That's the ultimate reason we live. Church, he is worthy of our whole lives spent worshiping him and praising him and singing to him and singing about him and living for him. To glory, to give glory means to exalt, to praise, to honor, to love, and to worship. It's a hard word to define, but that's best I could do. And so our purpose for life, young people, y'all are trying to figure out what your purpose in life is. Well, some of us people that are older are still trying to figure out what our purpose in life is. Your life is to bring glory to God. Whatever he allows you to do in life, you're to do it for the glory of God. It's to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's to live our entire life for him and with him. It's to praise him. It's to tell others about Jesus. Men, hear me, men. Live your life giving him all the glory. Let your wife see it. Let your coworkers see it. Let your neighbor see it. Let your kids see it. Ladies, live your life giving him all the glory. Let your husband see it. Let your kids see it. Let your neighbor see it. Let your friends see it. Let social media see it, church. Young people, God is worthy of all of your life and all of your glory. Young people are always trying to find, man, what's a worthy cause? Jesus is the worthy cause, church. And so love him and live for him. Be reminded this Christmas and be reminded when we sing the song that God is worthy. Church, let's sing like he's worthy. I'm just gonna kind of like give a pastoral like shove on you. I don't know, something. When we sing, let's not sing like we're like bored to tears, church. The creator of the world came and died for you and me so that we could spend eternity with him. We deserve to sing to him with all we have, church. Let's get over the... Let's sing it, church. Justin said amen. When people see us sing, they should know that we mean it. You got a bad voice, sing louder. Are you with me? You're not singing for the person next to you. You're singing for him. All right, that's free. Woo. Let's sing like he's worthy. There is nothing or anyone more worthy. Come on. The second declaration is this. Because of Jesus, peace is possible. For all those who follow Jesus, for all who place their faith in Jesus. Notice verse 14, peace among men with whom he is pleased. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that God is, my watch is telling me to calm down. You ever get that? Like, chill out, dude, take a deep breath, right? Hebrews 11, it says God is pleased with those who have true faith in Jesus. And so when we call on Jesus to save him, when we trust in him and follow Jesus, God is pleased with us. Peace is now available to us. This peace is peace with God. It's eternal peace. It's eternal peace, and it's peace with others. This is good news, church, because we live in an unpeaceful world. But through Jesus, we can have true peace. Romans 5 tells us that when we surrender our lives to Jesus, we are at peace with God. That's a good word, because the Bible before that says we're enemies of God. We're at war against God. But now, because of Jesus, we're at peace with God. Here's what it means. There's no more separation. There's no more conflict. There's harmony with God. We're made whole by God. Philippians 4 tells us, don't be anxious about anything. But now we can know that we have this peace of God which surpasses all understanding within us. Give it to God. Trust God. He's worthy of your trust, church. Church, this Christmas, know that Christmas is all about God keeping his promise. It's all about who Jesus is. It's all about our sins being forgiven. And this Christmas, as we sing this song, by the way, I said sing it. Don't just mummer it. Is that okay? Can we do that? I'm just telling you, church. I mean, like the last couple weeks, y'all been bored, I think. I'm not sure what's going on. Let's sing it. Amen? Let's read God's word. Let's give him the glory this Christmas. Let's not give him just a little peace. Give it all to him and be reminded through Jesus, peace is possible. As we close, I want us to pause for just a minute. Let the rush, let the stress of the Christmas season fade away for just a second and listen to this message. God is not telling you to try harder. He's not telling you to be better. He's not telling you that you're not good enough. God is telling you that he loves you so much so that he left heaven for you and did the work of saving you. There's nothing you need to do. There's nothing you can do. Nothing but listen to his voice and receive the gift. If you don't know Jesus, will you do that today? Will you receive the free gift of salvation? Will you trust in Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to be the boss of my life? For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. If you would believe in him, you won't perish but have eternal life with Jesus. Christians, give God the glory this Christmas. Worship him. Give it all to him. honor him with your words, with your work, with your calendar, with your wallet, with your family, with your life this Christmas. Let's pray.